Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. That is my colonized name, and we discuss national, local, Twin City Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. I want to get going here as soon as possible. We got a jam-packed show. We got Gina Peltier from Honor the Earth up in the deep north sitting in for Ogama and giving us a big report on what's going on with these pipelines and the things that she's doing up there. And then up next, Robert Lilligren, who's a Native American community activist, and he always stops in on Thursday, and we talk a lot about a lot of stuff, national and local news. And we're going to talk about probably the three officers that were convicted with the murder of George Floyd, and also what's happening to our relatives being invaded by the Russians. But before I want to give this young warrior as much time as I can, so I want to get right away with Gina Peltier. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Hey, Robert. Thank you so much for having me on tonight. I really appreciate it. I really, really do.
Right on. And we appreciate everything you do, and it's going to be really interesting to see, because we just talked for a couple seconds before the show, and it sounds like you have a lot to report on. So without any further ado, I'm going to give you the microphone and let you do your thing. So thank you so much for stopping in.
Awesome. Yeah, so I've already been quite busy today. I was in Leech Lake. They held a little, what do we call it? A public comic drafting session where they had community members come in, and they were talking about the Hubert Project that's coming up. And today's the last day that you can actually submit comments. So what we got going on is that, you know, you could easily go, what we have set up for you is you can go to this website, protectmnforests.org, and you can easily submit your comments there. All you need to do is just click on the take action button, and it takes you to this page where all you have to do is just put in your first name, your last name, your email, and then your zip code. And it already has a pre-written statement for you, but it also gives you the option where you can also change the statement and add what you want, and all that good stuff. And then also with Leech Lake and the tribe there, with that meeting, they also had their own website. And I see there that Nancy put it in the chat, and that was so awesome. Thank you, Nancy. It was a really, really good informational session that they had. And I do believe that, you know, with that, what happened at this session, that a lot of people are going to be more involved, and they will be holding more things like this to show the public what is going on. And what is going on with this is, you know, you have this wood company that is proposing the 750,000 square foot wood processing plant in Cohasset, Minnesota. And, you know, the Walz administration completely exempted Huber from a full environmental assessment and passed decision-making approval for the plant to the city of Cohasset. So, you know, this exemption, you know, raises cultural, environmental, and market concerns, you know, among the residents and tribes and businesses, because this is very, it's very scary with what they're going to do. You know, they're going to take the trees out of the Chippewa National Forest. There's two eagle nests that they plant. They have filed things with the DNR to request just to take those down. And, you know, what I heard from the information that I got from the session today is that, you know, when they submitted to ask to take these eagle nests down, they said that they're just going to take them down and throw these in the wood chipper. You know, they're just going to shred it and leave it up to the eagles to find their own place. So,
whoa, we know that's not the way eagles thrive. I know I've been getting feathers for years from a nest that's been there for 30 years and had many different eagles living there in the same nest. So that just, and I'm in eagle clan too as a Ho-Chunk, and that really, really makes me angry to hear that, Gina.
Yeah, it's really, really scary. The things that they're going to do to, they're going to damage the land and the water to make profit over something we don't even need. They're going to make toxic plyboard out of the wood chippings that they're going to get from the wood. And quite honestly, we don't need it. You know, like I've always said on this show, you know, we could use hemp to do that. You know, why not grow hemp? It's better for the environment and all that good stuff. I could talk about hemp forever, but I should probably move on. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. We got like 4 minutes. So give us what you got too. I just wanted to give you a little countdown. You don't have a clock in front of you, but great reporting so far. Let's keep it up.
Thanks. Let me move on to the Line 3 Battlefront. We do have an event coming up tomorrow in Grand Rapids where we are going to be gathering at the Itasca Courthouse to support one of our water protectors who has court tomorrow. So that starts at 8:30, I believe, 8:30 a.m. in Grand Rapids at the courthouse. So we're just asking water protectors to come and join us to help, you know, get those charges dropped and show presence. And then on the Line 5 Battlefront, they got something going on. There's a bunch of different organizations who have come together and they're putting on this thing. It's called March 4th to Earth Day. So it's to bring awareness to Line 5 and what's going on. And they're asking people from everywhere to start coming together March 4th every Friday until Earth Day. Different communities around Wisconsin, Minnesota, the United States, even all over the world, just to come together, you know, have your own little events. Either they can be online or in person, you know, like we did something, even like what we did when we would do Salsa Tuesdays for Line 3. You know, we dance on the corner in front of an Enbridge building. It was so much fun. Other than that, we do have the Hemp Conference coming up here March. March 1st and March 2nd. And to get more information on that, just go to Honor the Earth's Facebook page and then search for the Hemp Conference, the 5th Annual Indigenous Hemp Conference, and check out more details for that. Because, you know, having that information on how hemp can really, really help us is really, really, really good ammo for when people try to oppose us against what we do to protect our land and water.
Absolutely. Wow. You know, hemp is going to be the way. You know, we have, as you said, you listened to yesterday's show, we have Bob Blake on from Solar Bear News, and he just really comes through with the stuff. And, you know, hemp, solar is where it's happening. Big businesses are leading that way, and it's time for our government officials to snap out of it and support this.
Exactly. I could talk about the benefits of hemp all day long. So that's something to look forward to check out.
Yeah, definitely. And I know Winona's got her hemp farm up there. And I've, you know, I think one of the things that calling all nations out there, I think that's a thing to get into the manufacturing. Right now, we're about to go into a war. And what are we going to be low on? We're going to be low on paper towels and toilet paper again. And why aren't we making this out of hemp, right?
Oh my goodness, exactly. And you know, even with hemp restores the ozone layer and it puts nutrients back into the soil, which is a really good thing since the United States' topsoil has depleted 2% in the past 100 years. That's a really, really scary information to know right there.
Wow, you're absolutely right. So we got to 30 seconds. Do you have anything else? I really, really, really appreciate you stopping in, Gina. We're going to have to get you, while Ogama's out, we're going to have to get you on the show every day to get, or not every day, but close to every day to get an update with you would be awesome if you have the capacity. But thank you for bringing your truth. We always say free Leonard Peltier at the end of the show, and I know you're related to Leonard, and we got to really fight to get him out, among other things. And thank you, and thank your brother too. He's a very powerful young man, and he's got good things happening too. So Pini Gigi, thank you so much.
Miigwech, thank you.
All right, hey. as Gina Peltier. We'll be right back with Robert Lilligren. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Children's Minnesota raises up children's health by raising the standards. Hands, voices, the bar, the stakes, the questions, and the curtain on raising kids' health to the highest priority. With the most pediatric experts in the Upper Midwest, we're setting the stage because kids need us, all of us. So let's raise them up so every kid can reach their best health. Children's Minnesota, the kid experts.
Bijou. I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation,
and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Well, I'm always excited to have Robert Lilligren on, and we really just chat about things and what affects our native communities and the good things our native communities doing. But today, Robert, I'm a little blue with what's going on with Ukraine, and also kind of having a little flashback with the George Floyd murder that's been taken. The three police officers that were involved in that have been found guilty. We have a lot to discuss, so I'm really glad you're on today. Thank you so much.
Yeah, bonjour, Robert. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's a crazy day, huh?
Yeah, I feel a little off-centered, and I don't know if it just has to do with all this stuff happening and kind of kind of emotional right now. It's kind of a gray cloud over my head, I feel like. Plus, I miss Wendy, too. She's coming.
Yeah, I miss Wendy, too. And Ogama, now.
Yes, yes.
Is she out for the duration?
Yes, she is. Yes, she is. And we haven't made an announcement yet, so in a couple weeks, hopefully, we'll make a little announcement. And I know it's going to be a girl, so they can't name her Robert. So I've been trying to get that going in there. And I didn't realize this thing, too, is that there's three Roberts on during the week. You, me, and Bob Blake from Red Lake are on.
Oh, great.
So we got a lot
He's doing good things.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. So, you know, we got a lot of time here. What's your take on what's happening right now?
In the international scene in Ukraine? Yeah. And I don't know if I have so much of a take, but it's just the response, you know, and this has been building up. You know, I don't think anyone's really that surprised. It kind of happened much more swiftly, I think, than a lot of us thought it would happen. But last night, as the invasion was being launched by Russia into the Ukraine, I was watching The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. I don't know if you watch that, but it's one of my favorite regular shows. And of course, that's taped earlier in the day. So they were talking more about sort of the preparations and the posturing and would there or wouldn't there be an invasion. And it was interesting for me because there was still some room for humor in that situation. You know, and so while I'm watching that last night, the invasion is actually happening, and I'm watching real time, you know, on social media and on television, the invasion was actually happening. And it was already, I got to tell you, Robert, it already felt like, you know, a loss of innocence. You know, it was like, wow, a few hours ago, you could joke about this situation. Mm-hmm. You can't joke about it anymore.
Yeah, and it's very confusing, and I hopefully the two parties will get behind the president and support his actions, and we can be united front, because a lot of times, I know these big times in our lifetime, like 9/11, the country came together, and so I'm hoping that might be the one good thing that comes out of this, but my fingers are crossed.
Yeah, I'm hopeful too, you know, and this is really the largest invasion in Europe, or the largest battles for almost 80 years since World War II. So it just has such a different feeling. And this whole scenario to me feels so 20th century, right? A crazed madman dictator claiming territory for really little or no reason other than to satisfy their ego, and that just doesn't even feel like something that happens in the 21st century. It feels very last century, and we'll see, you know. And we're already seeing the former president sort of standing up. You know, he was always such a huge Putin ally, functionary for Putin, and so he's cheering, and some of his circle are cheering Putin on, which I think is so odd and perverse. And so with, you know, your kind of hopeful sense, it's like, is this something that can start separating, you know, sort of decent conservatives from Russian operatives? And that's where I'm getting more hopeful that it'll have that effect.
Yeah, and I don't know, is this a time to watch more news or less news? Because just before I got on, I saw paratroopers or special forces from Russia were already at the airport, and the news was right there interviewing them, and not knowing that they were Russians, they thought they were Ukrainians. So, is this weird or what? I mean, it's even more so the 22nd century news.
Right. That part really is. And then there's the side, and I've only read a little on this, but the cyber attacks that are going on you know, Ukrainian government servers, on utilities and things. And so there is a whole sort of invisible side to this as well.
Yeah, and it's weird too. I mean, again, I'm a little depressed on what's going on, and I think when it comes to any kind of war, oh, you got a waiter there. Any kind of war, it affects the children and the old people. I mean,
I can't imagine. Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan tweeted something out about exactly that just recently, and you know, and that she's praying for the children and the people who care for them, and they must be terrified. You know, there's almost nowhere to go. Ukrainians didn't think that the Russians would reach the capital, would reach Kyiv so quickly or even at all. You know, and they've made incredible inroads into their invasion. And so yeah, it's scary. And it's not something in the, you know, the sort of European, the Western world that we've really seen in a very, very long time. And so it feels... It feels total, kind of all income for me. Like it's right. All around me, you know.
Well, and then my other job too, I'm going to be worried about not only the economy, but the economy that affects our nation and everyone and a lot of people's nation on what's going on with helping their people. So it's like a domino effect in many ways.
Yep. Markets are crashing, you know, oil prices are soaring, and not that those are the most important things in the world, but they say something, right? And
yeah,
and then as sanctions tighten, you know, it's going to get even more unpredictable and turbulent, and for folks economically, socially, geographically. And so it's going to be a mess for a while.
And I think, too, and I see what Kathleen put up on our chat, but I think, too, one of the interesting things is that it's going to be a full-out cyber war, too. And right. not just them, but us. And they've been practicing on different companies and us and having carte blanche with their so-called hackers out of Russia that are probably run by the government or at least sanctioned.
Yeah, there are troll farms and everything. And if you think back, you know, again, there's a lot of talk. This is the biggest military action in Europe since World War II for almost 80 years. 80 years ago, there wasn't an internet. So cybersecurity was not an issue. 80 years ago, there weren't nuclear weapons.
Right.
So nuclear threat was not an issue. And so it's like layering all of these threats. And again, what I just think of as such a 20th century kind of action. And I don't see the point. I mean, I get it. There's threats with Ukraine, with Ukraine joining NATO and things right on Russia's border. So, but that doesn't seem like the threat justifies this kind of action.
Right. Yeah. And again, I just, you know, it's frightening for me in a lot of senses. I'm 60 years old and I remember, you know, living a block away from Summit Avenue and seeing the protests for the Vietnam War and witnessing that and then kind of feeling that we're all like-minded and then realizing the first Gulf War, we weren't. There was a lot of people that were into that and I'm going, wow, I ate dinner watching the count in Vietnam of how many Americans were killed and how many Viet Cong were killed. And it was always a weird kind of score.
Right. That was our first TV war, right? And we had the same in our house. You know, every night on the news, they would print the body count. And it was harsh, for sure. And I saw the listener that posted the piece about being less dependent on importing, you know, fuel, food, goods. And I agree. I've always been, and my father was as well, a big proponent of local food production, local generation, energy generation. You know, so we're not shipping things all around the world all the time. And so I can't imagine that there won't be a significant shift in our culture. There already is. Right, significant shift going on, mostly I would say due to COVID, where we're learning the importance of local production, local generation, local control, and I think this will just advance that.
Exactly, and you know, it always gets darkest before sunrise, and I know, you know, we're still here. We as Native Americans and Indigenous people. We'll figure out a way. And I think you're right, because of COVID, a lot of things have shifted and we're probably more ready than we were 2 years ago, but we still got a ways to go.
A long ways to go. And then this whole fuel thing, right? I learned a new word. Now I can't even remember it, but I saw it in a story today about, was it petronations? Is that what they called Russian nations that depend on petroleum for their economy? And so what, how can we limit that dependence or lower that dependence, you know? And I think lowering that kind of dependence and investing in renewables, using renewables, will certainly create a safer world in the future.
Absolutely. Hey, stay with me, Robert. We got more to talk about. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm here with Robert Lilligrand, White Earth Ojibwe. We'll be right back after the short break.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986.
Hi, I'm Anna, and I'm 8 years old, and I'm getting my COVID vaccine. If you're between 5 and 11 years old, you can get vaccinated too. Getting the jab might seem a little scary, but there is lots of good reasons to do it. You'll be protected from COVID, and you'll be less likely to spread it to people like family and friends. Have your parents find a vaccination site by calling 651-304-9986 or visit vaccineconnector.mn.gov.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
This is David from The David Pakman Show, where we expose the hatriots, liars, and Trumpists. Weekdays at 2 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Don't be surprised if you hear your name when you walk into St. Paul Corner Drug. Our experienced staff make getting to know you their top priority. Developing a trusting relationship with our patients is the first step in providing personalized care that achieves the best outcomes possible. Make certain all your providers know who you are and what your needs are. It is a vital step in your well-being. Stop by St. Paul Corner Drug today to start a relationship with a staff that cares. St. Paul Corner Drug, pharmacy the way it should be.
I love my Toyota vehicle, so when I have to get service done, there's only one place I go, Rudy Luther Toyota. They know Toyotas inside and out. It starts with them checking your alignment and tire treads with their Hunter Quick Check Drive Inspection Service as you pull in. Oil changes, tires, batteries, wipers, no matter what you need done, they can help you with reliable Toyota parts and the best service team in Minnesota. Check their website, RudyLutherToyota.com, for service specials for your Toyota vehicles. Worry-free driving is easy when you get your Toyota serviced at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for cloudy skies tonight with a low around zero, Friday sunny with a high near 16, and Saturday sunny with a high around 33. Come visit the award-winning Hazel's Northeast in Minneapolis for breakfast, lunch, dinner, or weekend brunch. For breakfast, try the slow-cooked brisket hash, hippie cakes, and meat waffle, while for lunch, enjoy favorites like the buttermilk fried chicken sandwich or veggie burger. Hazel's is located off 29th and Johnson and at hazelsnetogo.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. And we're always excited to, or at least I am excited to talk to Robert Lilligren, right? I always look forward to our conversations, Robert.
Well, I'm no Jane Fonda. I'm no Jane Fonda.
Or Jack Kennedy, wasn't that what
right, yeah,
right. Yes, I just aged myself there on a old presidential election. But hey, let's just finish this up a little bit and then go into maybe really what's happening in the Twin Cities. I know the court case here was in St. Paul, but the murder happened in Minneapolis. So you know what. I guess, you know, we just have to really put out some tobacco and really hope that our leaders really lead in a good way, because right now our hands are tied and the only thing we can do is really pray and talk to our legislators.
Right, right. So we're talking about the officers whose verdicts were handed down today, three of the officers who were involved in the George Floyd murder. So as you know, Chauvin was found guilty, then pled guilty to a federal case of violating George Floyd's civil rights. Today, the three officers that were assisting Chauvin today were found guilty of, in federal court, of violating George Floyd's rights. And so it's kind of a big deal. There's more trials to come. There'll be a state civil rights trial as well in the future. And every time these come up, it just kind of opens that wound, brings that trauma back to the surface of the whole George Floyd murder. But, you know, and there's nothing to be happy about, right, in any of these trials, but there is a sense of some kind of justice when these officers are found guilty.
You know, the most amazing thing about the first trial for me was to see the body cams of the people on the sidewalk. That was that we didn't see until the first trial, of all the people pleading for them to do something.
Right. Everybody could tell, right? People watching it. I mean, it must have been hideous to witness, you know, traumatic. And everybody knew that George Floyd was in distress, that George Floyd's life was threatened. And so it's hard to imagine that those officers didn't know. And and didn't do anything. And so of the five civil rights charges that were brought in federal court to the officers, they were found guilty of all five charges. Two of the officers were found guilty both of not rendering medical aid and violating George Floyd's civil rights. One was found guilty of violating civil rights. He tried to render aid, but the other officers won't listen. And there was some testimony, and the one officer is Thomas Lane, that was only found guilty of that one charge. And the officer said something like, "I felt like if I intervened, I would be jeopardizing my job." And I just think that speaks so much. I mean, to your point, Robert, about we need leadership to do something, that speaks so strongly of the culture of specifically Minneapolis police, but also of policing in general in our country, that officers are making that kind of choice, somebody's life over preserving their job.
Wow. Yeah. And I, you know, as you're talking, I couldn't help but think about the look on their face, along with the two camera shot now that we saw during the trial, is that they were almost like daring the people that were on the sidewalk to do something, or even better yet, you can't do anything to me, and don't even try and yell at me. I mean, just that look on his face with a going back and forth, it just makes me shudder.
No, I agree. And that it's about power, right? There's such a disparate power dynamic in a situation like that. So you have however many people were around that could see what was happening, law enforcement that could see what was happening. But the power dynamic is so uneven that these three officers, four, including Chauvin, had all the power. And so wasn't a way, or at least the people there didn't feel like there was a way they could directly intervene. And even within the power dynamic of the four officers, there was a sense that the less senior officers couldn't intervene.
Do you remember, now I'm a St. Paul boy, so we're talking Twin Cities here to our people in Madison and Milwaukee, Chicago, and we have a different police force, and I always remember being young and always warned not to be arrested in Minneapolis. Do you remember, did you ever hear anything like that when you were growing up?
Oh, yeah. To stay out of the way, you know, to comply. Oh, for sure. Yeah, I had a cousin that was actually, I think he was going to be the first Native sworn officer in Minneapolis. This is back in the 70s. Cousin, his last name was Perry. And he actually died during police training, just in a freak accident. And they still give out, like, the every class of police officers, there's the Perry Award that goes to the outstanding recruit. But that, I remember what a big deal that was in our family. We were going to have a Native sworn officer in Minneapolis. It was so hopeful. And then when he died, that just kind of got snuffed out.
Yeah. Well, and then Bob Blake's brother, too. Do you remember?
Sergeant Blake. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He was an old, old dear friend of mine. As a matter of fact, I marched drum and bugle corps with him in the 70s. So, and he played trumpet, too. But yeah. But his passing, and he was heading in a good direction, too, within the police department. But I remember, too, and this was even a little later, we were a little older. The Minneapolis police were compared to the LA cops back in the O.J. Simpson era, where he was, where that whole thing with the glove and the police planting things and.
Right. Well, and, you know, you brought up Sergeant Blake, and Bob Blake, he was an amazing officer, and he suffered a real tragedy. He lost a daughter to gang violence. And it really motivated him. And it was so beautiful. You know, he started to establish the first Minnesota statewide Native law enforcement network that was setting up data sharing and communications between tribal and tribal police and other law enforcement. And that's the kind of stuff that can save lives.
Yeah.
You know, and trading information. And then he had a sad passing, early passing, and that work just kind of stopped. Which is too bad, because as we know, especially with our population, our people, they move around a lot. You know, when people are here in the cities for a while, they're up on the reservations for a while, you know, they're moving around, and a lot of the crime pathways and drug pathways just kind of follow that movement.
Yeah, there's a video of his funeral on YouTube, and it's amazing how... I guess you could say both sides of the Native side and also the police side respected him so much.
Yeah, yeah. I was there at his funeral. I was on the Minneapolis City Council at the time, and he was one of our officers, and of course from the Native community. And it was something. It was at the cathedral, and it was really moving. And you know, I had to go. Not had to. I went to a few different police officer funerals. Officers were either killed on the line of duty or like Bob Blake, who are making these significant contributions and then passed. And they are really something different, man. I remember we had an officer who was shot on the line of duty early in my city council career. And the city council officer traveled to her funeral. What's that?
Oh, no. I thought it was Officer Huff for a second. No, I'm sorry.
No. Melissa, and all of a sudden I can't think of her last name, and I feel terrible about that. But she had been shot really close by here, actually, in a public housing complex. Melissa, I don't want to say the wrong name. I think it was Schmidt, but I'll try to Google it real fast. But then when we went to her funeral in this small town in Wisconsin, and there were thousands, maybe even tens of thousands of law enforcement officers from all around the region.
Yeah, Bill always had a good heart, and so does his brother. And it was interesting when Sheriff Hutch was running the first time, and he's not running this next time, but he was on the same show as Bob Blake. And I think Bob was here at the studio, and he was just saying on how much of a legend his brother was. And I know Bob got really emotional hearing that about Bill Blake, Sergeant Bill Blake of the Minneapolis Police. And it's just the continue circle there. You went to his funeral. I grew up with him. I mean, it's just five directions, knowing people.
Right. Yeah. And I do want, it was Melissa Schmidt. It was Officer Melissa Schmidt who was shot in the early part of the 2000s. I just want to say her name since I brought her up, you know, out of respect.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's just, you know, one of the things, if you don't mind staying on for one more segment, I'd really love to talk about All My Relations art gallery at the end.
Oh, sure.
If you don't mind, because I didn't make the opening. I was there the next day, and what you guys do to promote these artists and what happens there on Franklin Avenue, everyone should know and go to. So I'd really like to change a little direction there when we come back, if you don't mind.
Fine by me. Yeah, happy to stay.
Awesome. So, you know, just to remind our audience, you were a city council member for how many years?
14 years. 12 years. Well, from 2001 to 2014.
felt like 14. And yeah, we're first Native American city council member, which is just a great. Yeah, in Minneapolis. Thank you. And it's great. We've had these conversations, and I know when we used to have the two-hour show, I'd pre-record that, and our conversations before the show were just awesome. And I feel like we've really kind of moved that into our show now.
Yeah, you know, very conversational. Do I have half a minute to tell a quick story?
Yes, definitely.
Cool. So the current president of the Minneapolis City Council is Andrea Jenkins, who's a dear friend and was my first staffer that I hired when I went into City Council in 2001. She's high profile because she's an African-American trans woman, the first African-American trans person to head a city council in the country and to be elected to a city council in the country. So I'm very proud of her. But there's this article, she was an article on the press in Great Britain in Reuters, and she was talking about when I recruited her to come and work for me, and it was during my campaign. She was actually in my ward and a voter and stuff, and I said, I can't offer you a job now, but if I get elected, will you come in into city, will you at least consider coming into City Hall and working for me? And she said in this article, she goes, of course. I said, yes. I thought, what, gay Native American candidate? He's never going to get elected. So it was safe to say yes.
Awesome. We'll be right back with more of Robert Lilligren. Stay with us, please.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College will help you get where you want to go. Located downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, one-on-one mentorship, and a Metro Transit pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality. Connect with a counselor today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
Don't let COVID spoil winter fun for your family. Get a vaccine or booster. COVID-19 vaccines are safe, effective, free for everyone, and are now available for anyone over the age of 5. Booster shots are also recommended for everyone 12 and older if it's been more than 5 months since your previous vaccination. To get more tips, schedule your vaccine, or get tested, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. That's ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everybody. I'm so happy. We got, I don't know if we should probably not do the howling for wolves thing because Wendy's not here, but we can just howl a little bit. But, So I'm here with Robert Lilligren, and we're talking a lot of heavy duty stuff. And I thought maybe this last segment here we can talk a little bit here. But looks like we have a caller. Do you mind taking a call and see?
We've never taken a caller before.
I know, it's crazy. But I want to put Kathy on here and see what's up with Kathy. And welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and you're with Robert and Robert.
Hello. Hey, Cassie's with the baby right now. The baby just had a diaper problem. But yeah.
We can hear the baby.
Hello.
Hey, Kathy, welcome to Native Roots Radio. How can we help you? It's Robert and Robert, and we're live.
Yes. Well, I'm not Cassie, but I'm Cassie's mother, but we need our story out there. It's here in Winnemucca, and I'm speaking in behalf of all the elders that are they're evicting people out of their homes. And it's the tribal council that's evicting people out. And, for example, like my house where I was living, they destroyed my electricity. They cut the lines, my water lines, and my sewer lines, and they took the gas out. So then to where I could move, I guess, where my house wouldn't be livable. And then they claimed it unlivable to where I had to leave. And right now they have no trespassing signs on my home. Mm-hmm. And they arrest people. And for a while we had some land protectors here that were... that came in because they actually built a fence around the colony. We're a small colony. It's 20 acres, but in another area, there's 320 acres.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just on the 20 acres living.
Mm-hmm.
And they want everybody off of there, so they're evicting people out.
What I would really love you to do is give your phone number to the producer, and I want to call you and have you on next week to talk about this. Do you mind if we do it that way?
No, I don't mind because it will give me more time to prepare because this was just like right offhand.
No, let's definitely talk about this because we've had a few people come on our show to talk specifically about this, but they are water protectors. But I'd like to hear specifically from you as what's happening to you as you're reporting right now. So please leave your number and name with the producer, and I really appreciate you listening and calling in and talking, speaking your truth, and we will get back to you and amplify your story.
Yeah, I'm a good for stepping forward.
Hope.
I know it's not always.
Yes, thank you very much, Pinigigi. Wow, I'm sure, Robert, like you hear a lot of stories similar with your job and with especially when we had the Wall of Forgotten Natives, but I mean it's a daily occurrence in our Native community.
The housing issue, of course, and then there's issues of, you know, supports that people need to be in their housing and just sort of a lack of housing. And, you know, as you know, Robert, and some folks may know, I'm still in government. I'm a representative on what's called our Metropolitan Council. It's our regional governance. I chair the Community Development Committee, which is around housing issues. And we're just always struggling with how to create enough housing of very different affordabilities and also different supports. And so I am in kind of housing conversations a lot just today. We have a community group that comes together to address the issues at the intersection of unsheltered homelessness and opioid use. And, you know, and these are difficult issues. And so, and sometimes you can lose hope. You know, so.
There's some kind of land grab going on there, and I want to specifically get to especially this elder here and talk to her specifically what's happened to her, because we've had a couple people call in and guests about this specific thing, and I want to be able to wrap my head around that. But we got like 4 minutes left right now, and I really want to talk about what's happening at All My Relations and the great art that, you know, that goes through there. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about it. And our current, so All My Relations Arts is a gallery that our organization, Native American Community Development Institute, Kenny Owens, or Keeps for the Community, and operates. And it's a tiny little gallery on East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. It's on the American Indian Cultural Corridor. And yet it's just really outsized in its importance and influence for Native contemporary Native artists in the Midwest, especially. But we go broader and into Canada and nationally and stuff. But the show there right now is just really amazing. And I think I say of every show, well, I think this is our best show. But the show right now features an artist named Stephen Primo, an Ojibwe artist, and who from Mille Lacs, which is a reservation that's pretty close to the metro, actually. Mm-hmm. And it's a lifelong show of work from decades. And it's incredible. And what really amazes me, Robert, is that as high profile as he is, as respected as he is, you know, he's been an arts instructor in schools here, universities. He has public arts pieces all throughout Mille Lacs and throughout the state. This is his first solo show in the metro area here in Minneapolis.
Wow, that's awesome. So what's we got just a minute here left. What's the process of getting these great artists? Because I know pre-COVID it was happening quite often because we'd get together and celebrate these Native artists. And you have somebody working in the gallery that...
Oh, yeah. We have our gallery director is Angela Two Stars, who is now becoming an internationally known public artist. She's a Dakota woman, and she schedules four shows a year, four gallery shows a year, and then sometimes there's calls for artists. In this case, we just did outreach because of Steve's prominence in the community. And I think it's also important to note that all of our shows have many components: artist talks, community artist workshops. We have a virtual artist talk coming up on March 3rd, community arts activity, which will likely be virtual as well on March 26th. Folks can go to All My Relations Arts or NACTI website or Facebook pages. But there's also capacity building, right? We're building the capacity of Native arts professionals, Native artists, as business people and things. So it's a wonderful space. It's almost like a sacred space, the gallery. And so I would encourage folks who are here to participate and check it out.
Yeah, I really think it is a sacred space. That's a really good way to put it. Well, Robert, thank you so much for staying a little longer than you normally do. It really helped out for me.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah, and it's great to have you on, and I appreciate everything you do for our community and really being on the show and letting our allies all over the country know what's going on here in the Twin Cities and how we feel.
Cool. Miigwech.
Hey, if you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. Free Leonard Peltier.